And Bree has come to be with us from Kentucky, graduated from Crown College, and was here on a tour group, fell in love with our church, and said, you know, sometime I'd like to go out to Heritage Baptist Church. And she did it, and she's here, and we're getting to use her, amen. And God bless you, girl. She lives with Fern, and we thank God so much for that. What? I missed the memo. The welcome center is supposed to come up and sing. No, come on. Thank you. But Dr. Jack Isles had the Sears family with the trumpets, the old trumpets. Have you ever heard them? They're just unbelievable. And things were just going through pastor school. All of a sudden, he forgot to have them. And that cost him buying all silver trumpets for the Sears family. Boy, brother, you're in trouble because... Good thing you, I can't bring you new voices, so anyway, thank you so much. Well, I was thinking the other day about telling it to Jesus, and I read this little article and thought you'd like it. How can you tell when it's going to be a rotten day? Number one, you wake up with your face on the pavement. You call the suicide prevention, and they put you on hold. You see Fox News team waiting in your office. Your birthday cake collapses from the weight of the candles. You turn on the TV news, and it shows emergency routes out your city. We wouldn't get that one, but anyway, not in Montana. Your twin sister forgets your birthday. That's a bad day. Your car horn goes off accidentally and remains stuck as you follow a group of Hell's Angels on the freeway. Your boss tells you you don't need to take off your coat. The birds that are singing outside your window is a buzzard. You wake up and your braces are locked together. You call your answering service and it tells you it's none of your business. And you put both contact lenses in the same eye. Life has a lot of things that bring us to, really bring us to our knees. A lot of things that just happen. Some people will put you to your knees. They expect so much of you. And they think that you are not human. You can be at 3-4 places at one time. And that can be, if you kind of remind me of a fellow that fell off his motorcycle and his arm was over here, another arm was over there, and like there. He was in 3 places at one time, amen? But life has some really strange things. Has a lot of detours. The other day I was trying to get someplace, and I went one down runway, and I couldn't get there. I had to go another way, and I was going to the Benefice East to do my Bible study, and I was right. I mean, I was on 2 wheels all the way there. When I got there, the road was closed, and I had to turn around and go another way. And guess what? That road was closed. I had to turn around and go another way, and finally, I got in there. Amen. Life has a lot of roadblocks. Life has a lot of road construction. If you're in Montana, you know that. Our motto is under construction, and I have a lot of things we just found out yesterday. You don't want to go through Townsend to go to camp. You need to go to Boulder and Whitefish and go down because of all the construction. And so a lot of things happen in our lives that we do not like. I was riding with my grandson the other day, and he was chattering away, and when are we going to get there? And I said, it's not getting there. I mean, it's not being there that's fun. It's getting there that's fun. And he went, oh, I should enjoy the ride. And all of a sudden, he just started seeing things that was cool. The other day, something happened to me, and I got kind of upset about it. And I thought, good night. I don't have time for this. I got to do this, got to do that. And I thought, wait a minute. life is an experience. I flew into Midway Airport and turned on my GPS, and it said, not working. And I'm going to Hammond. What do you mean, not working? And I sat there and played with that thing for about 20 minutes in my rental car. Finally, I called up my friend. He said, well, he said, preacher, he says, what you need to do is go out of the airport and turn right and go south on Cicero Avenue. So I got up there, and it says South Cicero Avenue. So I took a right and went down and went down and down. All of a sudden, I realized the sun is on my left side. And when I was growing up, when the sun is on your left side in the afternoon, that means you go north. And I called him. I said, hey, man, last time I figured out Montana, the sun is in the west. And if I've got that sun in the west and I'm looking out on my left, that means I'm going north. He said, oh, preacher, you're right. You better turn around. And I got really frustrated, and for a minute there, and I said, whoa. What did my wife and I always say? It's an adventure. This is an adventure. I don't have a meeting until tomorrow, so what? I've got all night to get there. And I just drove. I didn't drive like a cop or like I stole the car. I just drove nice, amen. And drove right into my friend Roy Moffat's house, and we giggled and laughed and told my story, and I had a story to tell him, amen. Life sometimes gives you some pretty, pretty bad stuff. And some of it's pretty sour. And I heard one man said, if the world hands you a lemon, squeeze it, put some water with it, put some sugar, and have a party. Amen. And so I hope that I'm learning these things. I'm really working hard at it. I worked real hard at trying to be happy all the time. Yesterday I went to Walmart, went shopping. My wife and I's favorite thing we used to do. And when I go in there now, it's a drudgery. And I think all down those aisles about how it was so much fun that I would put stuff in my cart and then she'd have the same stuff in her cart and we'd split up and then we'd meet. And she said, how are I got that? I said, good. I guess we need both of them, amen. That was a big time. So sometimes in our life, we get thrown a curveball. And if we stay there long enough, maybe they'll throw enough pitches that gets us a walk, amen. Sometimes we don't always get a hit, but enjoy being on the base, amen. I want to talk to you about telling about Jesus. First of all, tell your burdens to Jesus. After the cruel murder of John the Baptist, the disciples came and went and told Jesus. Many of John the Baptist's disciples came and was with Christ from that time on. After Lazarus became sick, the sister of Mary and Martha came and had somebody tell Jesus. After Peter's wife's mother became ill, they hurried to tell Jesus. We should learn that prayer is the best sedative for our nerves. After a wearisome day, tell it to Jesus. The basic tonic in the morning is in tackling new problems is take it to Jesus. Don't shut up your sorrow up within your heart because we can't endure it. And we can't suffer alone. Tell it to Jesus. Joe Severins was a missionary from Ireland and Canada. He went to Canada to be with the Iroquois Indians. And he was to be joined there by his fiancée who was from Ireland. And just before the wedding, she was killed in an ice accident. And Joe buried her with his own hands and with a broken heart. Years later, in a letter to his mother, he reflected, Mama, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptation? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never, never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Joe was on the road of triumph, even though there were times when the loads were so rough. He knew where to bring his burdens. So bring your burdens to Jesus. Number two, tell the things that perplex you to Jesus. Tell things that perplex you. You have things that perplex you. You have things you don't like. Good night. Why in the world did this happen? Why does this got to happen in my life? It perplexes you. How can I fix this? You know, my daddy used to tell me one thing. He said, you know, son, there's certain things you can fix because you have the knowledge you can fix it. And then there's certain things you can't fix, but you know somebody that can help you fix it, or they can fix it for you. And then he said, there are certain things that you can't fix, you don't know anybody can fix, only God can fix it. Is there anything impossible for God? Tell the things that perplex you to Jesus. At the wedding feast of Cana, the wine had been exhausted. The host was perplexed. He told it to Jesus. King Hezekiah received a threatening letter from the Assyrian monarch. He went to the house of the Lord. He opened it up to the Lord Jesus Christ. He held that up and he told Jesus, hast thou a care whose pressures dread? Expel sweet slumber from thy bed? To the Lord Jesus tell what cares and exchange anxiety to care. God has promised skies. God has not promised skies always blue. Flower-strewn pathways all life through. God cannot promise sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. But God has promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, and light for the way, grace for the trial, help from above, unfailing sympathy, undying love. Thank God for Jesus. Ah, oh, tell it to Jesus. Oh, you heartache. You people with heartaches and sorrows today, and the place is full of it today, I'm telling you. Everybody's got a heartache. Everybody's got trouble. Everybody's got some kind of financial need. Everybody. I mean, if you would just put it out today, there would not be room in this room to tell us all your troubles and heartaches and sorrows. Tell your doubts to Jesus. Tell your doubts, number three. Tell your doubts to Jesus. John the Baptist doubted. Can you imagine that? Good night. John the Baptizer, the greatest preacher Jesus Christ, the greatest preacher Jesus Christ said that ever lived on this earth. He doubted. Sitting in jail. Told his disciples, told his teacher, his men that he was teaching. He said, hey, why don't you go over and see Jesus and ask him, are you the one? Or should we look for another? Hey, wait a minute. Let's back up. Back up for a minute. Let's play that video again. Jesus, here he comes. Walked 75 miles from Nazareth. Come down to Jordan. Meet John the Baptist. He said, John, baptize. And before he even gets there, John the Baptist, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. That's pretty powerful. He said, Jesus said, baptize me, John. He said, man, I'm not even worthy to unlatch the laces from your shoes. I can't baptize you. Jesus said, baptize me. He baptized him. And when he baptized him, he went down in the water. And when they came up, the dove of the Holy Spirit landed on Jesus' shoulder. And God said, this is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. Remember that? All right, let's fast forward again. Guys, go over there to Jesus and see if he's the one that's supposed to come, or are we looking for another? Boy, that's doubt. I don't know about you, but I'll just tell you one thing, ladies and gentlemen. Even though you doubt, you can still be a great Christian. I doubted for a long time about my salvation. I wasn't sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Oh, my goodness. It frogged me. I mean, it haunted me. I worried and worried and worried and worried so that I wasn't sure I was saved. Until when I was 22 years old, at Calvary Baptist Church of Wells, Minnesota, Dr. David Bond, evangelist, was preaching. I was assistant pastor. I had a little baby in my arms, and the preacher was waxing valiantly. And he said, unless you know Christ as your personal Savior, you'll burn in hell. Yes, you will. And you'll never see your children again. Boy, I'll tell you what, that hit me so hard. And my wife and I, and little Chad, were driving back to Old Town of Minnesota. An old 59 Chevrolet with a big old V8 in it. That was when they had real cars. So these other cars go. Then you got to plug them in. Tell you what, you plug them in by just slamming on this gas, buddy. I mean, the ears go back on that thing. It'd go. Got about 10 miles from the church, and I said to my wife, Marcia, I said, Marcia, I'm not sure I'm safe. And it'd be a terrible thing if I never see that baby again. She said, well, man, go back and see the preacher. I turned that old car around out of the lace. I mean, she just jumped. We got about 120 miles an hour. It was dark. She said, you better slow down. What if you get killed? I'll never know if you're going to be in heaven or not. I said, I don't care. I'm going to go see that preacher. I slid that old car in the side, walked in the house, and I said to my father-in-law, I got to see that preacher. Thank God. That old preacher was ready. He pulled his pants on over top of his checkered pajamas. You say, how do you know he had checkered pajamas? Because on the bottom, he had about this much hanging out from his suit pants. Well, brother, what can I do for you? I said, I'm not sure I'm safe. He said, I'll help you with that. And he took me over to the preacher's office, and then we sat down. And he showed me that. He said, by the way, he said, have you ever asked Jesus in your heart? Yes. I said, I was 14 years old, Southside Baptist Church, East Lansing, Michigan, went to a youth conference. And I said, I got saved. He said, so you're calling God a liar, huh? I said, whoa. I said, I've said a lot of bad words before. But I said, I won't use God's name in vain. He said, well, you're calling God a liar. I said, how's that? Because he said in 1 John chapter 5, verse 10, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye have eternal life. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 10, bring dawn. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the name of the Son of God. I said, well, he said, you just call God a liar if you don't believe what he said. If I ask him in my heart, he said, he'll come in and he'll stay there, and he'll stay there forever, and he'll write my name in double ink in heaven in the book of life. Wow, I'll tell you what, I about did a double back flip. Got so excited, happy Jesus, amen. It was good, I knew for sure, and I haven't doubted it since. But the scriptures right there taught me, hey, if you doubt, I'd rather a man doubt than have no thought at all. I worry about people who don't care about heaven. You can spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars on insurance, so if something does happen, you're covered. And you know the Bible says it's appointed on a man once to die, and then the judgment, and it's going to happen. I don't know how many thousands of dollars I've paid for my motorcycle, for my four-wheeler, for my car, and I've never cashed it in. But I'll tell you what, if something happens, I got something to look up. But salvation, death is going to happen. You're going to die. Whether you like it or not, I don't like thinking about that. You're going to die. I got a funeral today. 2 weeks ago, a good friend of mine's wife passed away. My mother died. My dad died. My grandpa died. My grandmother. And I'm going to die someday. And so are you. And I don't care how tough you are, how smart you are, you're going to die. And I don't care how much money Queen Elizabeth said, hey, yeah, I could give the half of my kingdom to one more day. So it ain't going to happen. You're going to die. It is the point of man for time. Get rid of the doubt. Go to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Nicodemus doubted. He went to Jesus by night. An honest doubter wants to know the truth. Amen. He goes to the place to find it. Thomas' example, he doubted. And his doubt was honest. Lord, Jesus said, in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, the way you know. The little Thomas is raising his hand. Lord, we know not whither the ghost is. Ha! we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's only one way to get to heaven, and it's through Jesus Christ. You don't get to go to heaven because you got baptized. You don't get to heaven because you can say the Ten Commandments. You don't get to heaven because you got a lot of money. You don't go to heaven because you're a poor man like Lazarus that died. You go to heaven because you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you invite Him to come into your heart. You believe that He died on the cross and rose on the third day, and you believe His Word. That's how you get saved. I don't care what the Fox News and CBS and ABC and whatever, the BBC and whatever says. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ is the answer to salvation. And if it wasn't, He wouldn't have to die on the cross and suffer such excruciating pain so that you could go free. It's a free gift. It's not a works that any man should boast. And I don't care how smart you are, how suave you are, how cool you are, how magnificent you are, how beautiful you are, how ugly you are, or how skinny you are, how fat you are. I'm telling you, the only way to get to heaven is with Jesus Christ. And you can be cool all you want, but I'll tell you one thing. Every man is going to stand before the presence of God. And you will be judged. Either you accept it, or you deny it. It's up to you. And God tells us about a free will. Every man has a free will. You can do what you want to do. You can say what you want. And you can be what you want. But you'll suffer the consequences. One day his son and his father were up in the mountains and climbing these cliffs. And the father heard his son's voice. Hey, Dad, catch me! The father turned. And his son joyfully jumped off the rock straight at him. He had jumped, then yelled, "Hey, Dad!" It became an instant circus act. Catching him, both of them fall to the ground. And for moments after the father caught him, he could hardly talk. When the father found his voice, he gasped in exasperation, or whatever you want to call it. Exasperation. Son, can you give me one reason why you did that? And the kid responded calmly and happily, sure, you're my dad. Good night, you about killed both of us. Why'd you do that? You're my dad. His whole assurance was based upon the fact that his father was trustworthy. He could live life at a hilt because he knew that he trusted his daddy. Isn't this even more true for our Christians to bring our doubt to Jesus? You know why? He's going to catch us. He's going to catch us. I think we all tell Jesus about our pleasures. We're always telling Him about what we need and what we can't figure out. But I think we need to tell Him about our pleasures. Strange how we think as something that has to do only with anxiety, pain, and fear, we think of prayer. When we're in trouble, we turn instantaneously to God for help. But on the small part, we use the prayer to thank Him. The better part to do for God is joy. To share not only our cares with Him, but our pleasures with Him. Isn't God good to us? We are so blessed. Look at your little fair-haired kid next to you. Think of the blessing of God giving us our children. I was watching this I was watching real carefully out there as the guys were shooting the other day, and I was watching some of the boys were shooting better than their dads. And some of the real men were so excited that the boys were shooting better than dad. Because we men are men now, and our children are children, and it's our time for them to have play and ours to watch and help and to instruct and to be a real man and says, here's some extra shells. One of my grandsons ran out of shells, and I had a couple extra shells. Here, take them. Oh, no, Papa, you no, I don't want you to have them. Okay. You know what? I got more pleasure out of watching him, and he got pleasure out of shooting him. I'm just stingy that way. We ought to be so thankful what God has given to us. Can you imagine? Your child can speak to you, and your child can love on you, and your child can be the be that nobody else can be for you. I love kids, but boy, when I have my own kids, there's nothing like having your own kids. Grandkid came the other day and he said, hey, Papa, you think I can borrow the pickup? I said, I've just changed the oil. Everything's good on it. He said, what about the four-wheeler? I said, the four-wheeler's all changed. It's ready to go, full of gas, everything. Yesterday, I saw it back in my house. I haven't checked the gas yet, and I haven't checked the gas on the other thing. But I'll guarantee you, it don't make a hill of beans. You understand? I'm to give them. They're not to give to me. It's my turn to be there to make sure they're having the fun. You get it, guys? Some of you guys are going hunting with your buddies. Let me tell you something. Go hunting with your children. You'll always have your children. Your buddies will move away someday. You hear me? You say, boy, that's something in the sermon. I just put that in. Tell Jesus about your sins. Eventually, every one of us got to confess our sins. Why wait until the hour of compulsion? How much better it is to tell Jesus now voluntarily instead of involuntary. If you confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Amen. You listen to me now. Listen to me. Someone comes to you and says, I am sorry. Humanistically, we'll say, shame on you the first time, shame on me the second time. What would Jesus do? Jesus said, him that cometh to me, I will no wise cast out. How many times did she sin against you? Jesus said, 70 times 7, 490 times in one day. And when that is, and if you filled all them out, you're supposed to turn it over again and start anew. Start at one again. He said, well, I'm not God. Well, I think you're a child, and I think you're supposed to act like him, aren't you? Tell it to Jesus. Are you weary? Are you heavy-hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus. Do your tears flow down your cheeks unbidden? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Have you sinned that to men's eyes are hidden? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Do you fear the gathering clouds of sorrow? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you anxious? What shall be tomorrow? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you troubled at the thought of dying? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. For Christ's coming kingdom, are you sighing? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus. Now listen to me. The last word of that chorus is alone. You know, I try to explain sometimes to some people about what's going on in my life. They really don't care what's going on in my life. You know why? Because they got enough junk in their life. There are some who are very kind and let you tell your whole story and the whole tale. But all the time they're telling it, they're thinking about themselves and says, yeah, you think you got a bad, you ought to sit in this chair. Well, am I not right? Am I not right? Am I not right? Amen, says I agree with you, preacher. Am I not right? Amen. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Some of the people were, when my wife was in the hospital intensive care, and it got to be Friday night and then Saturday, and all of a sudden the people just stopped coming. And I've been a pastor for almost 44 years. I understand a few things. And one is that families got to take care of their family. And there's family getting ready to go to church tomorrow. And there's families that have to make sure that everything is done. And there's family. And you know what? You know what I said as I walked down to my car alone? I wasn't bitter. I was praising God for the folks that have been there on Monday night and Tuesday night and Wednesday night and Thursday night and Friday and Saturday. I'm thanking God for the people who are praying for me. I didn't go down to my car dejected. I knew it was coming. John, you know what I'm talking about. Linda, you know what I'm talking about. People come and come and come, and all of a sudden, they got to take care of their family. Roy, you know what I'm talking about. Scott, you know what I'm talking about. All of you know what I'm talking about. You've been there. The hurts, the heartaches, the sorrows, and people there and putting their arm around you and say, I love you, and boy, if there's anything I can help you with, let me know. That's why you can tell it to Jesus alone. So he asked me, preacher, what can I do for you? I said, man, it's okay. I'm fine. Thank you. Thanks for caring. Thank you for caring. Thank you for offering up a prayer every once in a while when you think of us. By the way, I just want to remind you, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Just passing through. And it's okay. Because guess who I can tell? Who can I tell? I can go to Jesus. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and he's just the same as his lovely name. Aren't you glad Jesus is called Jesus? That's a sweet name. I hope today that you'll tell it to Jesus. Doubt? Perplexed? Problem? Sin? You're looking at it right here. But thank God I have a Savior that's greater than any trouble and heartache. Nothing can take me away from the love of God. Nothing. And nothing can take the love of God away from you. Now, it hurts. Brother John said that the idiot that wrote sticks and stones hurt my bones, but words will never hurt me. I don't know where he was at, brother, but words really hurt. They really can hurt. They'll put you down. Some people, it takes me about 3 days to quit bleeding. Somebody says something. You the same thing. Don't give me that. You're made out of the same flesh I am. Same blood pumping in you, pumping in me. What do you think I am? Orangutan? All of us have hurts. But when I've learned to cooperate, when I've learned to come to Jesus, it's going to be okay. When someone says something like to me, I say, I bet they're having some trouble. I bet they have a heartache. When some people take things wrong, what you say, just hope to God they tell it to Jesus, amen. Not get on Facebook. But anyway, let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving us and caring for us. Lord, I pray that there be anyone here today not sure they're saved. They don't have that hope of heaven someday. Lord, today would be the day they would accept you as their Savior. God, help them realize all they have to do is say, God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me my sins. I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day. Lord, save my soul. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You want to ask everyone to stand? You're here tonight, today, and you say, you know, preacher, you said something in that sermon about I'm going to have to stand before a holy God someday. That's correct. And it's not just the Christians going to stand before a holy God. It's God Almighty. It says that we that travel on the terra firma, on this world's sod, we will stand before a holy God. Let me ask you something. If you died today, if you are one of those persons in that theater and that maniac took that shotgun or that Glock, or that assault rifle and picked you off, and you dropped on the floor of that theater and your blood was going out and you died, where would you been? Where would you been? The Bible said those who trust Jesus Christ as personal Savior, absent with the body, present with the Lord. That's God's promise to you. But where would you been? Would you have died, went to hell, burned there forever and ever and ever and ever? Or would you landed in the arms of Jesus? That's a good question. I meet, seem like death every day, working at the sheriff's office and working at my church. I meet death all the time. All the time. My first question is, I wonder if they got saved. I wonder if there was a time some preacher or some evangelist or some missionary or some Sunday school teacher or some friend told them about Jesus. If you died today, would you go to heaven? If not, I'm going to invite you to pray this prayer with me today. God said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved from death and destruction, from hellfire forever. Pray this prayer with me. Say, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and save me right now. I don't care how tough you are. The Bible said every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that I am God. You say, ain't going to happen to me. Yeah. That's what they all say. Every one of us today, we're thinking about going to get something to eat. We're thinking about going home and maybe take a nap or go do something else. Some of you are thinking about coming back to church tonight at 6 o'clock. My wife thought she was going to go to work on June 6th, and at 11:10, her whole life stopped. She had my check to put in the bank, never got put in there. We don't know. So it's best you know Jesus is your Savior. It's best to know. When that doctor told me, he says,
Dr. Shearer, your wife's not going to make it. And I looked at him with tears streaming down my face, and I said, sir, what's wrong with heaven? What's wrong with heaven? Will you ask Jesus in your heart? Will you take care of it today? We're not here to, I don't even know most of you here today. We're not here to point you out. I don't plan to do that. I don't do that kind of stuff. But I will give you an opportunity, and you got a free will. You can accept it or you don't have to, but I'll tell you what the consequences are there. Consequently, you accept Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, you'll stand before God in heaven someday, and you'll rejoice and thank God for this crazy old preacher from Montana. Or, you have free will and say, I don't need that junk. And someday you'll stand before a God who said, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you. And he'll cast you in the lake of fire forever and ever. You say, you're trying to scare me. Yeah. Police try to scare you from doing stupid stuff. Your mama used to scare you from doing stupid stuff. Your dad used to terrorize you from doing stupid stuff. You know why? Because they loved you. And I'll tell you, there's a God in heaven that loves you so much that he said, I gave my only son, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Will you pray with me today and accept Jesus? Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and save me right now. And if you did that tonight, I'd ask you to step out of that seat, walk down this aisle. Let me show you in the Bible what the Bible says. What the Bible says to save you. Lord, I'll bless this time of invitation in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven, but I want to take care of that today. Hey, how long do you got to be? How long does it take you to do that? Split second. Just like that. Preacher, today I want Jesus to be my Savior. Why don't you come right now? Let me show you from the Bible. Why don't you come right now? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You come. This is going to be quick. You come right now. Hurry now. It's about over. You come. You're today and you say, preacher, I'm saved, but I have not followed the Lord Jesus Christ in believer's baptism down in the water, up out of water, identifying yourself with Jesus Christ. Why don't you come at this time? You're today and you say, preacher? Preacher, today, we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve God at. Why don't you come at this time?